listening to the Crop Disease Podcast, a podcast that will keep you up to date on how to manage common crop diseases faced by Australian growers. Both spotform and netform net blotch are two very common barley diseases in Australia. They are particularly prevalent in the south of the Western Australian wheat belt. However, in this neck of the woods, not only are they common, but they both now have been classified as fungicide resistant to some Group 3 fungicides. How can growers and researchers find solutions to better manage the disease? Well, that's what we're going to explore in this episode. Hello, it's Megan Jones here from the CCDM, and I'm going to be your co-host for the Crop Disease Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk to two barley growers from two different regions of the southern grain belt of WA, Scott Smith from the Albany Port Zone and Con Murphy from the Esperance Port Zone. And co-hosting with me today is the director of the Centre for Crop and Disease Management, Mark Gibbard. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Megan. It's great to be here today.
Now, Mark, can you tell us a bit about your background?
I was actually born in the wheat belt of Western Australia, in Quereting, and only stayed there for a few years with my parents, who were both teachers, and then we moved down into the southwest. Grew up down in Bunbury, actually, and then came to Perth to undertake my education. I did an undergraduate degree and a postgraduate degree at UWA, and focused on plant physiology, so really the processes that contribute to the growth of crops. After that, I went across to CSIRO and worked on the Murray-Darling River, or crops production around the Murray-Darling for about 7 years. And then finally came back to Western Australia to join Curtin University in 2004 to look after their wine program initially down at Margaret River. From there, I ended up looking after what was the School of Muresk and the transition of those activities down to the Bentley campus from 2010 and the development of our research program here at Bentley.
Okay, so my ears did prick up when you mentioned wine. Do you have a favourite kind of wine?
Of course I have a favourite wine, but I must admit my preference is very much for beer. And in fact, for most people who've worked for a long period in the wine industry, that's the case. So
really?
You'd be amazed how many wine producers actually really enjoy really good beer.
Oh.
I think they get sick and tired of really good wine.
Yeah, actually, now you mention it.
Good beers.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, when you say it like that?
I'm doing my best to support the barley industry.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Now, speaking of backgrounds, I know you've been with the CCDM as the director since day one, which was 5 years ago now, wasn't it? What is the thing that you're most proud of in that time?
Look, I'm very proud of the CCDM and the way that it's come together over the 5 year period. And yes, this is our birthday. We're 5 years old. And when I reflect on what we've achieved, there's two main areas. And I think the one that I'm most proud of is the development of the people and the capability and the infrastructure. So the CCDM has grown from a team of about 12 or 15 people up to where it is today. We're about 80 or so staff, got brand new buildings and fantastic laboratory capability that lets us examine diseases and plant responses to diseases in great detail. But in amongst that, we've got this fantastic group of young researchers who have started to call Perth their home. Most of them, well, about 90% of them, come from somewhere else other than Western Australia. This is a great long-term thing that's going to help the Australian grains industry deal with diseases right into the future. So I'm very, very proud of that. In terms of research outcomes, we've got some fantastic outcomes in terms of genetic improvement for wheat and barley, canola and pulses. And we've done some really fantastic work looking at fungicide resistance, examining where fungicide resistance occurs and looking at the sustainable use of fungicides into the future. And we'll talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah, very good. So a long history, I think, even though 5 years, a lot of things have happened.
That's correct.
So I also know you were working on a project that is looking to build a cohort of barley growers in the south end of the WA wheat belt. Can you tell us a bit about that project?
Yeah, sure, Megan. We're trying something a little bit different. We've got to the point where we feel we've got some fantastic understanding of what happens when fungicide resistance occurs, and we've got awesome tools to go out there and detect it, to understand when it's occurring and exactly what, at a very detailed level, what's going on within the fungus. But what we haven't had to date is an opportunity to really develop the in-field management techniques that allow us to demonstrate to industry the impacts of control measures. So we're going to work with a cohort cohort of growers, and we're talking probably 100 to 200 growers across the southern region of Western Australia. And the idea there is to go into a cycle of co-innovation where we work with them to help to detect fungicide resistance on their properties. We look at the management techniques that they use. We may make some recommendations as to how that could potentially change. Then we can look at the impact of that into the following season. Also, while we're doing that, we'll actually design some research activities directly with them and undertake those research activities in their local area, so that we can demonstrate the impact of different management techniques with them.
Yeah, sounds fantastic, Mark. And speaking of growers in the south of the WA Wheat Belt, I caught up with a grower from South Stirling, farming 85 kilometres northeast of Albany. Scott Smith is his name, and he spoke to me about his experiences with managing net blotch. Should we take a listen to the interview?
I'm really looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, okay, great. Let's take a listen.
Oh, hello, Scott Smith speaking.
Oh, hi, Scott. This is Megan Jones from the CCDM. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, great. I just want to know, first off, where do you farm exactly?
Oh, look, we farm about 85 kilometres northeast of Albany, area called Green Range, and move up to Cogeneer up in South Stirling, saw through that area, just south of the mountains.
Oh, nice spot then.
Oh, sometimes, yeah.
So how long have you been farming in the region for?
Oh, look, my family took up one of the first blocks in the area, Green Range, on the Cogeneer up West Road, so that was probably a bit over 50 years ago. And I've been home on the farm for 16 years now.
Oh, very good. And how is the season looking so far for you?
Actually, it's looking pretty good. It's the first time in a while we can say that, but we had some good rains at the end of March and also in mid-April, and since then it's been fairly dry until July, but certainly can't complain. We're doing pretty well this year.
Oh, that's good. So the crop is well and truly out of the ground now and looking okay?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, the crop's looking great, and we've got heaps of sheep feed as well, so happy days for a change.
Oh, brilliant news. Well, in this podcast, we're talking about net blotch and how devastating it can be on barley crops. This is particularly in the WA southern end of the wheat belt where fungicide-resistant issues have been discovered.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Scott, can you tell me, how did net blotch, and we're talking about spot form or net form, how did it affect your barley crop last season?
Oh, look, last year we had a terribly dry year, had a lot of late-sown crops, and we'd already had the fertiliser in the shed, which was treated by Uniform, and that actually got us through until spring, sort of full flag or early head emergence, and just on our previous experience, we just went out and sprayed the crops at that stage. So really probably had limited impact other than the cost of the fungicides last year. Mm-hmm. But in years previous, it's been a hell of a problem, really hard to stop once the disease started becoming resistant to propiconazole.
Any interesting observations you can tell us about in particular from that year?
From a couple of years ago.
Yeah, from a couple of years ago.
Oh, look, it was before that actually identified that the fungicide or the disease was resistant to the fungicide, and really we sprayed our crop. We worked on three times at that stage. It's pretty tight rotation down here for barley, which from what I gather the whole state's heading that way as well. So really we just always took the approach that while the fungicides were cheap, if we were going over the paddock, we'd spray them. And yeah, we got some rude shocks with some really heavy hot spots of net blotch throughout the crop. And it's interesting, they seem to have coincided with some manganese deficiency. And obviously once the disease gets going, yeah, incredibly hard to stop.
So what did it actually look like? Did it just complete? Was it spot form that you had, or what was the disease?
Mainly spot form, but we also at times have net form as well. I mean, me personally, I just pretty well treat them exactly the same. Yeah, and, you know, total loss of pretty much all the leaves in those hot spots, and end up with a lot of high screenings and things like that in a wet finish. So, yeah, it costs us a lot of money. particularly that year. In hindsight, we probably should have cottoned on something was happening the year before. There was areas that net blotch wasn't controlled very well at all, but it was always sort of after the spraying and probably too late to do anything at that stage by the time you notice those things.
Yeah, that's it. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, they say.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what do you plan to do if it becomes a problem this season? How will you manage it?
Oh, look, we used uniform in furrow on all our barley this season. The shed's full of aviator, ready to go for when we start seeing that disease move, and actually going to start spraying the first paddock this afternoon as we speak.
Oh, wow.
He's probably just pulling into the paddock. But there's really, the plan is just to try to keep the crops clean, try to use that uniform to the maximum effect before we do go in and spray with aviator. And then we have budgeted a spray of Prezaro late. So we're spending the money on it.
Yeah.
And look, last year we grew entirely Planet barley, which is really quite susceptible. This year we're growing about roughly a third of our barley program to Roslyn, which is also susceptible, but not as susceptible. Like, it's a noticeable difference. That variety will get through to flag emergence before needing a spray. So we're also bulking up Banks barley, which I'm told has useful tolerance to the disease as well. So, yeah, we're trying the alternate variety route. We're also trying our best to lengthen the rotation of barley and plant barley away from previous year stubbles, which is obviously quite difficult to do and can't do everything, but that's what we're attempting to do.
Oh, very good. So is fungicide resistance in net blotch a concern in your region, do you think?
Absolutely. It's been identified on our place. I think it was one of the first places it was picked up. And I think if it's been picked up on our place, it'll be endemic to the region, to the district. We're not doing anything a whole lot different than anyone else in general. So a lot of years, it's a high rainfall, high yielding, high disease pressure area. So, you know, if we've got it in our place, I'm sure the neighbours will have it too.
And what was the active ingredient that you think you have fungicide resistance on your property to? I think you mentioned it earlier.
Propiconazole.
It was
cheap and it was easy and it worked. So it just got tipped in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tricky thing, isn't it, fungicide resistance? The options become a bit limited, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, our strategy with using uniform, and I'm not sure of the fungicide groups, but I'm told uniform and aviator, they're differing groups, and then coming back with Prezaro, I think it's similar to weed management, just mixing your control groups and trying to extend their life. Unfortunately, it's getting rather expensive.
Yeah, that's it. That's unfortunate, all right. What do you think is needed to help you better manage the disease, given you've got fungicide resistance? What do you think the industry could do with?
Oh, we could do with some some varieties that have really good resistance to net blotch, to the net blotches. That'd be first and foremost. We also, down here, we need some alternative crops. Not a lot of people down this way actually grow wheat. We struggle to get it to yield like barley. We do grow a bit of wheat, but quite often our wheat yields are sort of a tonne or a tonne and a half below the barley yields. Mm. Also, we have issues with harvesting it with high moisture. So that's the biggest thing. Yeah, and some more novel fungicides out there that with activity would be great.
Yeah, that sure would be great. Okay, cool. Thank you for that, Scott. Well, let's wrap it up there. Yeah, hope things turn out well this year and you don't get too much net blotch on your crop, but see how you go.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. If we're getting net blotch, we're still getting rain. So that's always handy.
It is. Yeah. They do go hand in hand. So, yeah, we have to go with the flow, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, thanks so much, Scott. I'll catch you later.
Good on you. Thank you.
All right, see ya. Bye. So what did you think about that, Mark? Particularly when he talks about being one of the first to have an identified case of fungicide-resistant spot form net blotch on his property.
Well, it's fantastic that it was discovered at that point, and I don't think you should feel too bad about being one of the first. I think the reality is that with a disease and a change in a disease like this, it's when you go looking for something, it's when someone comes up with an observation that says, hey, this doesn't look quite right, and you start to investigate a bit further, that you realise that there's something there. But having done that, and then having looked more widely across the state, what we're seeing is, in fact, it is quite widespread. So we're seeing it into the north of the production areas, into the east, certainly seeing it across the south. There is some evidence that in the south of the state, we're seeing more complicated forms of resistance to these diseases, both spot form and net form of net blotch. We're seeing different types of resistance, and we're seeing different levels to which the resistance has developed across the south, perhaps a little bit more so than we are in other areas of the state. However, as more data comes in, we'll get a more complete picture.
Yes, that's right. And that's the exciting thing, isn't it? So the way he is managing it sounds very good too. He's doing all the right things by rotating crops where possible, using resistant varieties, alternating his modes of actions within his fungicide application strategy too. Don't you agree with that?
Absolutely. Megan, three gold stars to what Scott's doing. He's doing absolutely everything that he can in terms of the level of knowledge that we have at the moment. I think it's important for everybody to realise that when fungicide resistance occurs, for example, to one DMI, it doesn't equate to the loss of all of the DMIs. There's a key issue here, and that is that we have to make sure we rotate DMIs with other chemistry. We have to use mixes where we can and to have effective rotations and avoid using the same product or the same mode of action in repetitively. So we need to ensure that we maintain the DMIs because they are effective and they are reasonably inexpensive. And the way to do that is exactly what Scott's doing. Now, why is this important? Well, not only is it important to the DMIs, but where we're using STHIs or where QOIs are allowed to be used, we have to make sure we maintain those classes of chemistry as well. If we were to lose the STHIs or the QOIs as options, and they in other areas of the world, there are well-established incidences of fungicide resistance to both of those. If we were to lose those in Western Australia, we'd very quickly start to run out of options, and that's why we need to ensure we rotate our chemistry.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point, Mark. Next up, we are going to talk to a grower who farms 100 kilometres east of Esperance. This is Con Murphy. Con also grows a lot of barley out his way and has also had some tough control issues with net blotch, which was really quite interesting to hear about, actually. Should we take a listen to this one?
Absolutely. That sounds great.
Great. Let's take a listen.
Hello, Con speaking.
Oh, hi, Con. This is Megan Jones from the CCDM. How are you?
I'm pretty good, Megan. Yourself?
Yes, I'm very good, thank you. I heard you just came back from a holiday, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Where did you go?
We spent a couple of days in Broome and a couple of days in Carrageenie.
Oh, how nice. I've been meaning to get to Carrageenie for ages now. Is it amazing?
It is absolutely amazing. I would recommend it to anybody. It's just a beautiful part of the world.
Oh, that's so good. So can you tell us a bit about where you currently farm and your farming background?
I'm currently farming 100 k's east of Esperance. Been managing this farm for this our fifth season here. I've been dryland farming in Australia for 21 years. Previous to that, I was a dairy farmer in Ireland.
Oh, wow. So you've done a big move to Australia to keep farming.
I did. I came here as a backpacker just to drive tractors and fell in love with growing crops and, get a lot of pleasure out of it.
Oh, very good. I'm so glad to hear. So how is the season looking for you so far? What are you growing this year?
We've currently got canola, wheat, barley, lupins, faba beans, and a little bit of chickpeas in. Season has been pretty good for us. We're farming about 12 to 15 k's back from the ocean, so we've got pretty good rainfall. We're looking pretty good at the moment.
Oh, that's good to hear. Now, Con, in this podcast, we are focusing on the barley disease net blotch, and we're talking about both spot form and net form. Have you had a lot to deal with this disease over the years?
A couple of years ago, we had barley that got severely, I guess, the yield got severely damaged due to the net blotches. Both, it had both spot and net type, and we struggled to control it. Since then, we've changed our varieties and we've looked at varieties that have got more resistance to the net blotches, and we're probably using, that was one of our main drivers for changing varieties, was disease.
So yeah, when you change varieties, you saw a big difference?
Oh yes. We've come a long ways in a couple of years. We've worked harder on our fungicide program as well.
Can you tell me a bit more about that?
We use fluorotyrosol in Porro with all our cereals, but we've been using Sestiva on our barley for the last two seasons and finding really good results with that, holding disease early, and we've gone to a three fungicide program.
And what was it before, just a one fungicide program?
It was just a one, and we were using propiconazole mainly, and now we've gone to better chemicals. But this year we've gone to a variety that seems to stand out really well, and looks pretty good at the moment, actually.
What variety is that one?
We're growing Old Planet this year.
Ah, very good. Yeah, what do you plan to do if net blotch becomes a problem this season? How will you manage it?
We're currently observing our crops pretty regularly. We feel by doing that we'll have the ability to if net blotch or anything pops up, we'll get on it straight away. Because of our high rainfall zone here, we are doing more, I guess, preventative sprays rather than waiting for it. But we still keep checking the crops all the time for disease, and if anything does poke its head up, we're on it straight away. I think it's very important to rotate the modes of actions and the fungicides, and not be reliant on one or two fungicides to control disease.
Do you think you might have fungicide resistance on your property?
No, I don't. Look, there's only been four or five barley crops grown on this property. It was previously a sheep station, so we're quite safe on resistance issues at the moment.
Do you think that fungicide resistance in net blotch is a concern in your region, though?
Being in the high rainfall zone, I would say yes. I think in West Australia, we've got some of the highest resistance to all types of chemicals. So, yeah, I would agree that it would be a concern.
Would you say that net blotch is definitely a disease that seems to be more common in the last few years in your region?
I would say yes, again, to that, but it is. We're pushing harder and there's less livestock in the systems and more continual cropping, and you're going canola, wheat, barley, or maybe canola, wheat, barley, 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 and then you're really pushing the envelope on disease. We're trying to keep a robust rotation of canola, wheat, barley, legume, maybe wheat, maybe canola again, so we're not growing the same crop type 2 years in a row, if possible, but we are growing cereals on cereals. We're trying to get to a position where we're not going to be growing as much cereal on cereal, so we're growing barley after canola, so we're producing the carryover of stubble.
Just one more question for you, Con. So what do you think is needed to help you better manage the disease? What sort of research might be needed, do you think?
I guess genetics would be one that we need to look at, genetics and the varieties that are more resistant to diseases. Since understanding rotations for disease prevention or disease control, as well as growing rotations for nutritional value, maybe we should be looking at trying to find optimum rotations for disease control as well. So we should be looking at how a 5-6 year rotation can control disease, or how it affects disease, or how it can multiply disease.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good idea.
And I think by doing that, you're taking pressure off fungicides, and you're not all the time reliant on fungicides to keep on top of disease. So you're trying to find other ways other than using fungicides all the time.
Yeah, that's a good point, because that will increase the longevity of that fungicide, don't you think?
Correct.
Okay, well, thanks so much for this, Con. Hope everything goes well for you this year and you have a good year ahead, and I'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Thank you, Megan.
Okay, thanks, Con. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go, Mark. Both Scott and Con say their number one wish from the industry is better varieties or improved genetics. Is this something CCM can help them out with?
Yes, Megan, it's something that we're working towards right now. So we're taking two approaches to improving the resistance of the crop varieties to net form of net blotch and now to spot form of net blotch. When we started the research, our focus was very much on net form because at that point in time, it was in fact the dominant disease on this side of the country. And now spot form is clearly dominating. That may be a change in the disease or it's probably a change in the variety selection that's being used and our farming system more generally. We've got a whole lot of work focused on molecular science to look at the interactions between the pathogen and the host, and that tells us a lot about what we might be able to breed for. But we're also taking a broader approach where we're bringing in new germplasm from other parts of the world, we're screening that for resistance, and because we understand the molecular science side, we can very rapidly understand whether we're finding new forms of resistance and whether those can be easily introgressed into current breeding programs. So there's a lot of work going on in this space at the moment.
Yeah, very good. And just like in Scott's interview, Con also said he changed from a one fungicide to a three fungicide program within the past couple of years. It seems like some clear messages are getting out about using different modes of actions in fungicide strategies, don't you think?
Yes, that's true, and I'm really happy to hear that. Look, it's fantastic to hear that people are rotating their chemistry. It's fantastic to hear that people are making good informed decisions about how many fungicides they apply and when. And the other thing that I'm really noticing is the move towards seed treatment at the moment, particularly for these diseases in barley. It's going to be very, very important, and this year personifies that. When I talk to people in the grain belt of WA, and I've been out and about and having a look over the last couple of weeks, you can really clearly see the difference between those that have used a seed treatment such as Sestiva, which is offering in most cases or good sustained protection at this stage, and those people that haven't, who are now having to go back and apply foliar fungicides reasonably early in the season. This is a year where we have very high disease pressure for these diseases, both diseases in fact, in WA, and it's the sort of year that really shows the impact of using a good quality seed treatment.
Yeah, very good. Well, actually, it's now we should probably wrap up this episode. But thanks for co-hosting with me today, Mark. It's been great having you here.
Thanks, Megan. It's an absolute pleasure.
And I should say here too, if you are a grower in the south of the WA wheat belt and you are interested in the co-op project that Mark mentioned earlier, you can get in touch with the CCDM on email at ccdm@curtin.edu.au and we'll get you in touch with the people running the project. Also, if you have a crop disease topic that you'd like us to cover, then let us know. You can follow us and let us know on Twitter at the CCDM. You can also sign up to our blog and get more information just like this at ccdm.com.au. Well, that's all for now. You'll hear from us next month for more crop disease discussions. I'm excited about that. See ya. This podcast is brought to you by the Centre for Crop and Disease Management, a national centre co-supported by Curtin University and the Grains Research and Development Corporation.